Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Fan Club.
Step one, we buy into this club. Step two, we roll over to the club, either in your Mercedes-Benz or my pre-owned Acura Legend.
It's not as much as a club as it is a couple middle-aged dudes in sweatshirts talking about sports.
Bounce, 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 bounce. Now all the ladies saying bounce, 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 bounce.
But you get the gist. Here's Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
It is a Fan Club Friday. We do it each and every Friday in the 1 o'clock hour of the show. It's presented by Jay Rieger, our friends over there. And Cody is still finishing up, making some cocktails, been working on that. I'll let Cody describe the cocktail. It's a Negroni, right? We've been telling you today's drink was going to be a Negroni. And I will tell you a little bit about the event they got going on tomorrow night over at Rieger as well. And we'll be giving away two tickets to the event, the Negroni versus Martini event that's taking place to close out Negroni week at the Hey Hey Club. A bunch of great opportunities to learn a little bit more and also, you know, settle the ultimate cocktail debate. But if you're watching on the stream, you can see Cody has prepared the Negroni.
Explain as an homage to, Negroni versus Martini, I served the Negroni up.
Perfect.
Which is how we used to serve at Old Webster House. A lot of people drink it on ice, which obviously you can do as well. Negroni is one of the easiest drinks on the planet. It is equal parts Campari, sweet vermouth, and gin. It is one of my favorite cocktails on the planet, but it's also one of the easiest ones to make. Equal parts. Obviously, you haven't had Campari. It's a grapefruit liqueur. So, like, you know, somewhere in there, figured I'd serve them up. That way, it's like having a martini and a Negroni.
Yeah. Cody that even put a little orange peel on mine.
I did put a little orange peel on mine.
Going full on the presentation today. The old bartender in him. Couldn't help himself.
I wanted it to look good.
I like it. I like it.
I love a Negroni.
This is your favorite drink. And we'll be switching it up throughout the next couple months. Last week, of course, we were drinking the Electric Park canned cocktails from Rieger. If you were looking for something more along those lines, there's obviously anything. You can find something at Rieger. And tomorrow night, pretty cool event. This seems like an event Cody would like.
It is. If I was free, I'd go.
Yeah.
I really would. If I was available to go, I absolutely. It's something my wife and I would absolutely go to. So if you want to go, you want to just make it easy. Caller number, what do we think? 7. We'll give you a pair of tickets. You call Drew up. Let him know you want to go to the event tomorrow night. Make sure you can actually go.
Yeah, Negroni versus Martini. It's at Rieger. It starts at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Goes till 7 o'clock. As we mentioned, Hey Hey Club, right, with gin legend Tom Nickel. Also, a writer from the New York Times going to be out there. It's going to be paired up with some great bites as well. Share some stories, insights, and basically discuss the cocktail debate that is Negroni versus Martini. So, yeah, 913-586-7965. But you do obviously need to be available tomorrow night.
And be 21 or older.
Of course.
Because they're not going to, you know, they're not going to take your toddler out to the Martini
Seems
event.
Like
but you know what? Hang in there. I got Binkley in Oktoberfest.
Yeah, Jay Binkley.
Binkley likes beer, and I know he likes Oktoberfest, so I set him up.
Yeah, Bink is in the studio with us. What's going on, Bink?
What's going on, fellas?
We're good. We're good. Yeah, Cody was right. He's like, Bink's not gonna want a cocktail today. He's gonna want his Oktoberfest or something like that. That's fair. We treat our guests well. We treat our guests well. But we'll get Bink on a different cocktail here in a couple
will,
weeks.
I will have
or so.
Some of this G Rieger gin though.
That's why the bottle's there for you, Benny. That's why. If you need, you know what,
if you just need to take a pull.
Yeah, if the takes are getting too frustrating, too hot for you, you know what? Just take a deep breath and take a swig and drink responsibly.
What a weekend, fellas. What a weekend. Of course we have the Ryder Cup on now. Making a little comeback this afternoon.
Are they?
The Ryder Cup.
Still says 3-1. Nothing's changed.
Well, they're not over yet. The four balls going on this afternoon. But then Saturday's football day. The slate tomorrow is absolutely ridiculous. Then the NFL slate, of course, the Ryder Cup Finals on Sunday.
The smirk and the smile on your face.
This is not a weekend to leave your couch or your fridge at all, like ever. Like just
you're saying this is a stay-at-home situation.
Or if you're going to the game, that's fine. 100%, this is a weekend to stay at home. I mean, there's weekends to go do crap. Mm-hmm. This is not one of them.
It's going to be gorgeous outside. This does feel like a good set up patio with the TV, with some drinks from Rieger, and watch some football.
Or Fesco's place, man, that patio he's got.
That was nice.
A+ patio for Fesco.
That was fun. That was fun as well. Since you brought it up, let's start with college football. Then we'll work our way into Chiefs Ravens. We obviously are talking plenty of Chiefs today. It's a Red Friday. We'll give our game predictions. We'll also keep an eye on Andy Reid's quick media availability today if he gives any insight on who exactly is available. We all think Xavier Worthy will be good to go, seeing that he's been fully practicing the last 2 days. But I know you're a college football guy more than anything, you and Drew, and I know you guys are both pumped up. This is an awesome slate tomorrow for college football. We can get to the locals as well in a bit, but what's the game for you? There's no wrong answer here.
No, they're all good. There's four games between both teams are ranked. I think there could be a case that six teams should be ranked, like Auburn and then Washington versus Ohio State. But, gosh, at noon, USC Illinois is going to be fun. Although Illinois had 63 points put on last week. This is a top 10 team, got 63 bowled by Indiana. Indiana last year, you know, made the playoffs. Look out for them, man. They're actually better this year, I think, than they were last year because of Mendoza, the Heisman favorite.
That's what's crazy.
At quarterback is ridiculous.
Heisman favorite. I think at Indiana. I had to look it up. They once had a runner-up. It's the best they've ever done, Vink.
Well, Rodney Thomas is really good there.
I don't think he'll end up winning.
I don't know who it was. It was some guy in 1989. It might have been that guy.
Yeah, they had Rodney Thomas is good and Randall L. But 2:30 slate is good as well. If you like Ohio State, going to Washington and play. And then, of course, Ole Miss and LSU is going to be a great game. Mm-hmm. Both those teams ranked. That's 2:30. And then the night is ridiculous because that's two TV vision there. Because Oregon in Penn State, little Big Ten battle there. And then you have Alabama, Georgia going on at the exact same time. Now, that's the problem. Like, the 6 o'clock slate's ridiculous. You need like three TVs, four, use your phone, use your iPad, whatever.
This is why they want to do college football red zone. Is that what you would do, Bink? Would you watch one individual game or would you just do college football red zone?
I would do individual on one, but I'd have like I do now, just games on one and have red zone on the other. I will say this, though. People are making a big deal of the college game day. Can they actually, you know, do a college red zone? They did it for like 10 years, by the way. No one watched it.
It was called goal line something,
it was like
wasn't
goal
it?
Line yeah, on ESPN. It was like 2010 through 2020. So they have done it. I know people, oh, man, can you just imagine if they did it? Well, they did do it for like a decade.
They didn't have a true host, though, right? Wasn't it just they were kind of just different, automated, bouncing around almost?
And they got to get partnerships where they can all show all the games.
That's the biggest issue. Fox is not going to agree to be on it with ESPN or whatever it may be, and the conferences won't agree. But they're
getting along better, and it's good. Lee Corso, when he was doing the final game day prediction, they did show it on Big Noon Kickoff.
Yeah, that was
Fox. They did cover. That was pretty cool.
That was smart on their part too. They said they were honoring Corso. I also think they realized that nobody was going to watch the final segment of Big Noon Kickoff that day. Everybody wanted to watch Corso put on the Buckeye mascot.
That was ridiculous.
And so my guess is it was as much as it was honoring Corso. They also realized, well, maybe we'll steal some of the audience. Maybe people will stick around.
Well, we got Cincy and Kansas going. Of course, Kansas, you know, at home. UCF and Kansas State. I mean, who knows what to expect there?
UCF
pounded North Carolina last week, which everybody's been doing, but they are 2-2 this year. And then, of course, Missouri with a layup. This could be an overlooked game, but they'll take care of
UMass.
It's UMass. It's an overlooked game because they do have a bye week the following week before Alabama comes in the week after. Still in Columbia because Missouri does not go on the road till October 18th.
Who do you think, like we were saying, the Indiana quarterback is the favorite for the Heisman? We were going through some of the names. I don't think he'll end up winning it, but it is very, very wide open. For me, the guys I would put a couple dollars on right now, the Hoover kid at TCU, he's like 18-1.
Josh, you can watch him tonight.
Yeah,
he's going to get CM11.
He is
so
playing
a couple
tonight. One of two Friday night games, I think, going on.
And that's a really good battle of quarterbacks right there.
And then Hardy, because he's 50-1, the running back for Mizzou.
Yep.
And then I'm drawing a blank. Oh my gosh. Oh, Carson Beck.
Yeah.
Still.
Well, Carson Beck's pretty up there as far as the odds are concerned. Before the season, though, if you would have got like Dante Moore to Oregon, I mean, the odds on that was ridiculous. But now they're not. It's much better now. But like Dante Moore to Oregon, good odds. And then Diego Pavia is just laying out
there.
That's
your
well.
Guy. You love to bring him up.
He's just laying on the weeds right there. Marcel Reed's getting some run.
A&M quarterback. A&M. Okay.
I went ahead and put a bet on Hardy. I still think at the odds you were getting him at 50-1. If no quarterback separates and Missouri makes a college football playoff, Hardy will be the player people talk about as being the reason why. He's just been so good.
He's leading rusher in the SEC, second leading rusher in the nation, but he does share carries with Jamal Roberts in the backfield for Missouri. I did have John Mateer. That was the clubhouse.
That one, the injury got you there.
Well, you watched that game. You're like, when did he get hurt? When did he get hurt? And I guess it was the first quarter of that game, but he still played the remainder of the game with that broken bone.
He's done. He's going to miss too many games.
Yeah. Oh, he's done for the Heisman Trophy.
Someone on the text line was like, can he still make a run? No, it's
not at the Heisman. Over.
He's ridiculously talented. But the bottom line is the Heisman is, it's unlike other years where it's just completely wide open.
Yeah, it's way more open than before. But
because last year you go into it as Ginty and it was going to be Travis Hunter. And then Travis Hunter obviously separated.
It's a weird year for the locals because Kansas is a couple of wins away from taking them very serious for the Big 12. Like, and I still think a couple wins away. Missouri's a couple wins away from taking them very seriously for the college football playoff, although I thought they took a nice step forward against winning against South Carolina, especially because Sellers was playing.
Well,
and Kansas State's having
Bama.
The worst year I can imagine. Like, it can't go that
way. Missouri needs Bama to beat Georgia because here's the deal. Bama's loss was Florida State, who's on a roll and crushing everybody. This is a different Florida State team.
They play tonight, too.
So if Georgia does lose to Alabama, and then Missouri having that bye week before Alabama comes to Columbia, that's the game Missouri needs to circle because that's a very important, for the SEC, for the national, for getting to the playoffs, for everything. That Alabama game is huge, and they've been playing much better football as of late with Ty Simpson. Just been one of the most accurate quarterbacks you've ever seen playing for Alabama. He was 17-17 a couple weeks ago, gold. It's ridiculous how accurate.
You think things have calmed down now in Bama? You know,
you don't
obviously
think they're
the freak
trying to
out,
run DeBoer out?
The freak out at first that, man, this guy is going to get
fired. I think
so.
I mean, it's fans' expectations. I mean, that's what you get when you replace legend. Remember Ron Prince? There was no way. Stepping in for Bill Snyder. I mean, it was like,
Ron
come on.
Prince.
It's not going to work.
Cat.
But you step in for somebody. Just imagine whoever steps in for Andy Reid. You know what I'm saying? It's the same type of deal. But you're stepping in for a guy that was 7 national titles.
That's just Alabama. You can't win 8 games at Alabama.
Well, it's not
everybody
that,
knows
Nick
that.
Nick Saban's office is just down the hall. Like, Caitlin DeBoer's office is here. Nick Saban is a couple doors down. That's got to be a lot of pressure, having old Nick just a few doors down.
It is a Fan Club Friday, hanging out here, presented by Jay Rieger. The video stream is up and running. I'm looking across the way where Drew has turned the lights off.
He's wearing sunglasses.
Please turn on the video stream for you, too.
These
are the glasses where Saturday afternoon tomorrow, Drew's going
to
be tank top, maybe shirtless, sitting on his patio, talking about a football game on our Instagram Live. And a lot of you had commented about the sunglasses and hair.
Those
are the same oversized sunglasses.
I made sure to bring them today.
But he's wearing them in the dark right now.
Do you know when to tune in? 11 o'clock on Sundays.
That's right, Bink.
Drew joins me at 11 o'clock each Sunday when I'm on there for after hours, when I'm doing the show. And Drew,
wearing a shirt when he comes in studio?
No, we do it on the phone. Because
that's a good idea.
He doesn't wear clothes.
Yeah.
So we do it on the phone.
So he's probably is.
But it's the best segment. I mean, we just go. It's just the fastest 15 minutes ever.
Andy Reid has met with the media.
Yes.
He said that he anticipates Xavier Worthy playing on Sunday versus the Ravens, which means he will play.
He's playing.
He said that Jalen Royals is, quote, good to go for week 4 against the Ravens as well.
He was
not surprised.
Yeah,
he
didn't get any snaps.
Last week. He didn't get
on.
I'm just letting you know. But yes, he did not do there. And then everybody went today except for Ashton Gelati, who was sick, battling an illness, but did not make it seem like that was going to keep him out for Sunday's game either versus just he was sick.
I think Ashton Gelati would also take the never getting sick again.
Yes, that's right, Drew. That's
dehydration, exactly right. Cody. He had to come out for dehydration.
Honestly,
there's no
way. That was a lie, right?
There's no way that's what it
is. That's clearly not why he left the field, right?
No,
I mean,
chance.
You don't
they didn't
it,
even hand him any water.
You don't put a backup in as a rookie to sit on a knee to down out the clock.
Yeah, what the hell's going
Creed
on?
Creed Humphrey maybe or Dre Smith, not
it's two
the
games. There must be some sort of like secret injury happening.
I have no
him.
Idea what it is.
I don't know what it is either, but this is twice now he's come out of the game and he's played well, so it's not
is
that.
Is it the ribs?
Did you see the they put up the stats, Bink, of how left tackles perform and how tackles in general, not just left tackles, perform in isolation, as in who are the best players in isolation when they're having to block one-on-one at the tackle position? The company he is keeping is incredible. It is Joe Alt and Jordan Mailata. Those are the kind of players he's playing like. So when he's playing by himself, man's holding it down.
It depends on the grade you look. Like Pro Football Focus looked at the Chiefs. They had Kingsley Simmons and Taylor's, the three lowest graded Chiefs on offense. And they had Trey Smith as number one, which clearly if you watch that game, that probably is not the case to have Trey Smith at number one. But sometimes you got to take him with a grain of salt. Yeah. But they do watch every single play. But Josh Simmons has been the least of the worries. Creed and Trey are going to be fine. But
they just haven't started as well.
A lot less worry about Josh Simmons than Kingsley and Juwan.
Big, what do you think the role is for Worthy? I said, hey, if he's playing in this game, it should be full go. There should not be much holding him back. One, I think they need him to be full go. Whatever your game plan was for the season and some different looks that nobody has seen yet, because you only saw three plays to start the 2025 season, I think there really should be no limitation for him heading into Sunday.
Well, it depends on how careful you want to be with the shoulder. But this is an indication that they didn't want to throw him on IR, right, that he's playing this week. But do you expect him to be ever 100%? No.
What I'm saying. So, if you're going to be careful this week, that means you think you're going to be careful every week.
Well, you're going to have to be careful to some extent, but I'll say this. When Rice comes back and Worthy's still there, Taekwon has developed into that guy, that speed guy, too, that gives you that element down the field, the nine rounds downfield, like Xavier Worthy does. So if Worthy, you take it a little easier, because his range of motion is going to be a little bit different. It just is. He's got to be careful with some of the hits. So it's not going to be 100% Xavier Worthy, but the good news is they're going to get a lot more out of Taekwon Thornton than they thought. I cannot wait to see the four of them actually play together.
I know.
That would
We're
be
a couple
insane.
Weeks away, maybe, for that.
I don't want to count it before it happens.
Yeah, knock we'll on see. Wood. Knock
but no,
wood.
Yeah, Taekwon Thornton, every game, they're going to get one or two opportunities on the field. That's a given almost at this point
in
time.
No, it is. And I played something the other day when I was doing it. It was back in June. And Andy Reid was talking about Taekwon. I mean, this is after the mini camps, right? And you listen to that, and just the mini camps, the things that, Mahomes was saying about Taekwon. And granted, if you ask these players and Andy Reid about a player, they'll tell you. But just to, bring them up, I thought it was should have been a warning sign that Taekwon was high on Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes' list because they both were just glowing about him through the mini camps.
I know, but they glow about all kinds of players.
But not like that.
No, I get it. I'm just saying, typically it's it doesn't come that way. The truth is that I'm starting to believe, and I'll give it a couple weeks, maybe the deep ball is finally back.
It's in my folder, Alex, if you need it. It's under Taekwon.
Taekwon is
I found plenty of things I want to play from you.
No, if you search Taekwon, it's really good because he's talking about his trust with Mahomes.
That guy's an idiot, man.
Well, that's the wrong one.
No, wrong one.
Taekwon is the number one targeted deep threat in the NFL. And Patrick Mahomes is one of the most efficient deep ball throwers in the NFL. Maybe they just found that again, which is important. If that's just Taekwon did it, then kudos.
It helped that Taekwon was here at the end of the year on practice squad last year.
I agree with that.
Make no mistake, he's 4.28 guy. I mean, that's blazing fast. He did set the record. He beat John Ross, but it took an hour, and they took the record away from him at the combine. But dude is a second-round pick. It's not like he's a seventh-rounder just trying to make the team as a undrafted guy. No, this guy's a second-rounder for a reason.
I know, but I doubt San Francisco's saying about Sky Moore. It's obviously the talent part of it.
No,
and look, getting in a new position happened. He couldn't get on the field for the Patriots last year. That's what's so crazy.
But the thing about it is, Juju didn't do well in New England either. Keep in mind, after Brady, it was a mess.
I know, but they're not a total laughing stock now. I'm not saying it's perfect over there.
It was a mess in New England. But sometimes you have to look at what the system was, the coach, the quarterback, things like that.
It's a big bundle of suck, Dustman.
That's right. That's right, Dustman. Big bundle of suck. But I'll say this, though. With Taekwon, the more he does, the more attention he'll start to garner. And if you can get tension, then when Rice comes back, that'll take pressure off Kelsey. Because right now he's getting doubled and shadowed and everything else. And maybe he won't get mad so much. Because they won't be paying as much attention to him. That's the thing. When he's on the field, he's getting doubled. And because he's the main threat. Teams look at him and say, well, it's Kelsey's threat. But if Rice is there, if Taekwon Thornton's doing his deal, it's less pressure on Kelsey, and then, maybe he'll be happy.
We were discussing Derrick Henry earlier in the show. I understand he's been fumbling here recently. I still think he's obviously a major threat for any defense. However, Spags has had an answer the last couple of times, Bink. We know the opener last year, 46 yards is all they allowed to Derrick Henry. Is that still the key for you, or do you just kind of assume that, hey, Spags, they'll have that taken care of? It's more whether or not Lamar Jackson just kind of goes off.
Well, they didn't have any running backs get 100 yards last year. They're very good against the run last year. Lamar did have 122 in that game. Still a loss, but he did have 122 yards rushing against the Chiefs. I mean, he did a great job down the stretch. I mean, Saquon, they didn't really use him that much in the Super Bowl, but didn't get 100 yards. I think Lamar Jackson's the biggest threat for this team. I do. I know he's been sacked 12 times this year, which is second most in the NFL. So teams are being able to get to him and let him, but you got to set the edge. Like if they're setting the edge and not
Not doing what Chris Jones did against Justin Herbert.
Not biting
in week one.
Not biting on Lamar's fakes and letting him get to the outside. They're actually, you know, holding their ground, and Lamar's got nowhere to go, so he's been sacked 12 times. Derrick Henry's going to get his yards. You know that. For some reason, when they play the Chiefs, they do stupid things. They do. That's why Mahomes is 5-1 against Lamar Jackson. They just do things completely unexpected. But Lamar, I think, is the one to really worry about.
That was like a genuinely shocking stat when I saw how many double-digit leads Harbaugh had blown for the Ravens. I was like, you guys have blown that many double-digit leads? Because I think of Harbaugh as being one of the better coaches in the NFL, but as long as it's been since they have won anything of importance, he's going to, and he's had way better quarterback play, he's slowly creeping into the Mike Tomlin part of the conversation. It's nice to win a lot of games and be a competitive team, and Lamar has been amazing. Why have you not done more with Lamar? It's like a Sean Payton situation. At the end of the career, are we going to ask how he did way less with Lamar Jackson than he should have done?
Well, I tell you,
that's a two-time MVP.
I wish they would have found a way to win that opening game and gave Buffalo the L, because I think Buffalo Bills are going to be undefeated when they play the Chiefs. That's
they're going to end up being the one seed. They're going to end up being the one.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that would go the other way. Chiefs have their chance here at the Ravens, and of course, week 9, a chance at the Bills.
I know, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks for the Chiefs. They obviously have to stay healthy till it's still so long before Rashee Rice gets back.
It is, but this Ravens team.
It's still so long.
But the one thing about this team is it's the NFL myth. You know, there's these myths out there about certain teams and areas. Oh, the Ravens defense is nasty. It's tough. I mean, it is.
That's not
A big bundle of suck, to be honest with you. Their defense is 32nd in the NFL. The 31st against the pass, by the way. I know they brought in Jair Alexander, but he's barely played. They were 31st last year. It was the Ravens and the Jags, the two worst teams against the pass in the NFL. So if you look and say, oh, it's early. Well, you're almost getting to that quarter mark of the season, but they were 31 against the pass last year, and they still are. That hasn't improved.
Genuinely, one of my favorite things Alex Smith said to us earlier in the show, and we'll play back part of that coming up at 1:30, was he was like, Rex Ryan every week is trying to convince me to run the ball. And he's like, if I had Patrick Mahomes, who would want to run it?
Yeah.
And you're like, exactly. If you've got a team 31st, if we think this is going to be like – all Isaiah Pacheco, they're terrible against the pass. They should throw against this team on Sunday.
This is a team you can throw against at will. They should be able to run the ball against them, too. They've been terrible against the run.
Elsewhere in the NFL, what are you keeping an eye on this weekend? I mean, the Chargers are taking on Jackson Dart. He makes his debut. You got the Broncos, of course, going up against the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday Night Football. And then Sunday night, it's Jerry Jones as Cowboys going up against Micah Parsons. I don't know if you saw Jerry Jones today. This is what Jerry said about Micah returning.
Micah is special, and we all know he is, and he can be disruptive. But we have huge amounts of experience with the anecdotes that we've seen used on us for the last 4 years. Right. And while he does make great plays, there is also a way to approach playing against Micah, as we know, because we didn't exactly win the Super Bowl during those years. So bottom line is, when I look at playing him, I think of trying to have him as an advantage when we were playing other teams over the last 4 years. And some plays it looks beautiful. But then other plays, especially running plays, you can wish you'd have had a different formation.
Jera.
It's the second time he's brought up Mike against the run. He brought it up as soon as he made the trade. He brought up, well, you know, he's not exactly good against the run. Like, paraphrasing it, but he did talk about how bad he is against the run. As soon as he made the trade, he doubled down.
Michael Parsons.
Yeah. They could use
Parsons
him too.
Might have 5 sacks
because that's the Cowboys'
he's
defense.
I think he's going
to
dominate.
I'm telling you, whenever he sacks, he needs to point up. Whenever he gets a sack, he needs to point up at Jerry's box.
He should. Point at him.
How many times have you seen the little rascal so clever?
Explain this, Jerry. How did Russell Wilson get 450 and 3, and then bench the next week?
True.
Smiles and glory holes.
Yeah, exactly.
Bink. Exactly. We're going to play back a little bit of what Alex Smith had to say. We appreciate you hanging out with us, a little fan club Friday. What do you got in store this weekend? Obviously, Sunday at 10 a.m. you start?
Yeah, 10 to noon. Drew always comes on 11. We recap the action in Missouri, Kansas State, and we'll talk about some of those great national games as well.
That's a Fan Club Friday here, brought to you by Jay Rieger. We'll continue the Fan Club, drinking some Negronis, thanks to Rieger. We're also going to hear our conversation we had earlier today with Alex Smith, the former Chiefs quarterback. We did ask him about the 1-5 start, and as Cody mentioned, what's this offense going to look like as they get Rashee Rice and some other players back? That's coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on a Fan Club Friday, it's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you, Jay Binkley hanging out with us as well, drinking some Negronis today from our friends over at Jay Rieger & Co. Congratulations. What was the person's first name, Drew? Do you remember who won the pair of tickets?
Keith.
Keith. Shout out to Keith, who won the pair of tickets to the Negroni versus Martini event tomorrow night. Out at
time.
Rieger, 5 to 7 o'clock. We appreciate Keith for listening to the show. Congrats. Hopefully you've got a fun evening planned tomorrow now with Jay Rieger. Earlier today, Alex Smith, former Chiefs quarterback, joined us on the show. It's been a while since we talked with him and got his perspective on the slow start and what it's like to kind of struggle to meet expectations early on in a season.
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, obviously, you said it. This is like, you know, this is the last time that this team knew, you know, adversity this early in a season was definitely when I was lining up at quarterback. So it's been a while. I think a couple things. You know, to think back to that 1-5 start, and you know, I'd been around several head coaches at that point in my career. I'd had several bad starts to seasons before, and I just remember coming in, and I remember how calm Andy was. Like this, he wasn't panicked, right? And I remember how rare that was. I remember him telling you know everybody that he was going to be a little better. And the coaches are going to be a little better and you guys need to prepare a little better and we need to execute a little better. And it was just so much of like, you know, you look around the league at all these teams that get off to bad starts and we always see these drastic changes, right? People are fired. They lose their, you know, quarterback changes or they lose their play calling abilities. And I think people so often do kind of rash things when they're under that kind of pressure. And I remember thinking how unique it was that Andy just seemed to have such amazing resolve and he was so kind of immune to it. And how impressive it was. And you know, again, it made the difference, right? Like the momentum is obviously such a big thing in the NFL. And if you can get one win, right? If you can, you know, one scoring drive and kind of get some momentum going and then all of a sudden you stack them, it can obviously have a powerful effect. I think the other thing is I think about this, you know, currently this, the core of this Chiefs, current Chiefs team that's been together obviously these last several years and had so much success. But they've had a lot of adversity too, right? Like this isn't the first time that they faced adversity. This is a team that has had, you know, gone through, faced a lot of adversity, especially offensively the last couple of years and still found a way to overcome it. And I think they will lean on those experiences. You know, again, they haven't gone through this, you know, 3 weeks into the season before, but it's still valuable experience that they will rely on, I think, to work through this.
I think that's one of those things that like stood out, like between like people talk about like the Andy or Travis thing. And we're always trying to decide, do we notice it more when they're not, things aren't going well? Yeah. Is it just kind of part of it? Like when you have guys like Travis and you were around Travis forever.
Yeah.
It feels like he's like the ultimate, like I want to win no matter what. It feels like the frustration shows with some of those guys, but I'm assuming in the building, it's not like that, that like when they're sitting in like every day to day stuff is very normal.
Well, yeah, when you get back into your routine, for sure. You just can't, like, sit in that kind of experience. I mean, even certainly I so appreciated Travis's, like, vulnerability and honesty, obviously, after last week and the tough drop, right, that, like, kind of obviously was a defining play in that game. And it's a play, obviously, that, listen, he's a, you know, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest pass-catching tight end of all time, right? But, like, he's not perfect. And I think true leadership, not just from him, but Andy, like, it shows up in the hard times, right? Like the, you don't really need it. You don't really need it when things are going well, right? Like when you're winning a bunch of ball games, like there's not an opportunity for it. And I think for those guys to step up and to lead by example, you know, when you're not having success, when things are hard, I think is even more important. I think that's, again, a valuable example for all the young guys on the team to look at. And again, here's, I mean, is there a bigger star in the NFL right now? And for him, again, I think to be so real, again, is such a valuable, to have that on your team goes so far, right? I think for the entire roster to see that, like to him kind of taking accountability and know that he's going to be better and he'll do anything it takes to win, right? Like, try this. Honestly, this guy doesn't care if he catches two balls and they win a football game and he has to block all day. He's going to be pumped.
Did you ever think, Alex, though, when you had Travis Kelce walk in the building, though, just that, obviously not the off the field stuff, nobody could have, you know, predicted this kind of stardom, if you will, but just on the field, what he's become and the success he's had, what did you think of him when he first showed up?
You don't want to know. No, I mean, listen, the organization was excited from day one, you know, with being able to draft him. They were incredibly excited. I will never forget, like, literally, I mean, I think the day after, days after the draft, that we got a guy, right? We really think he's special and can be something. Now, listen, nobody can say that, like, that he was going to become what he has, right? The career that he has. Again, it's just one of one. But I think you immediately knew, I knew how unique he was. And in so many different ways, right? Like, I remember very quickly realizing this unique skill set, right? The wiggle, the basketball moves that we see at tight end. I think very quickly you could see that, listen, this guy played quarterback and he saw the big picture, right? Like he very quickly, you could tell that it was easy for him to handle, hey, like the different matchups he got, the different leverages he got, like what defenses were trying to do to take him away and how to counter it. Cause I think he just had a great understanding of offense and defensive football. And then I think very quickly, obviously what a unique teammate he was going to be. Right. Again, this is, he's so incredibly refreshing. He has so much fun. He has so much gratitude to be playing. And I think that's really unique. I can sound weird, but in a professional setting with expectations and contracts, and sometimes things can get heavy and hard. And Trav is always like every single day, just love being out there, grin on his face, telling jokes, having fun, dancing. And again, I think that this sounds like a small thing, but you appreciate it in the moments. And I know they'll be appreciating it even right now, right? Like, again, a lot of pressure to win and get back to, you know, no one wants to start 1-3. But I think to have that every day, that kind of attitude does really help.
Has it been crazy from the outside seeing all the other stuff? Him and Taylor?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. I mean, of course, again, it just crazy. I mean, again, even Kansas City, you know, such an amazing town. But listen, this isn't New York, right? Like there's some big giant market team. Again, it's the Midwest, and just such an amazing fan base. And just to see and to become kind of a, you know, certainly America's team, to go on the run they've had, to see what Patrick's done. And then obviously Travis on top of that. Yeah. Just never could have expected it.
Year to year, like we look at Andy's offenses in the last couple of years, they've been so much more like close to the line of scrimmage, not the deep, not the stuff we're used to, I guess.
Yeah.
Andy Reid-led offenses. Where do you think that's coming? Is it just offensive line play, or is that a huge part of it? Or, you know, like how much does it change year to year for Andy? Because we've seen more of it this year. Like, where do you think some of that, the closer to the line of scrimmage stuff is coming?
Yeah. I think this is the amazing thing about Andy Reid is he just doesn't run a playbook. He just doesn't. There isn't like some playbook that he's running. And obviously, he grew up in the West Coast world, and they still use that terminology. But it is so fluid year to year. About what his team does well, what's our talent, how can I put these guys in a situation to have success? And so you just continually see it morph. And listen, when the Tyreek trade happened, and obviously Travis is getting older, and those guys, you didn't have those two guys in their prime, and you weren't lighting up scoreboards and throwing for 50 touchdowns, right? Like, that's just not sustainable. So it started to look different, right? Like, how can we the ball efficiently, and certainly you saw defenses, I think, even countering it, right? They weren't going to give up the big play anymore. And you saw all the shell defense. And so this was an offense that all of a sudden started to incorporate more RPO, right? You saw a lot of the underneath throws and gun runs. And Patrick, it was still a way for them to, you know, obviously create some offense and move the football. And this became one of the most efficient offenses in football. You know, it's weird to go from one of the most explosive to one of the most methodical. And again, I think that says not obviously a lot just about Andy, but the players there. And I think you're in a weird situation here these first 6 weeks, obviously without Rashee. I think he's a guy that, listen, this is a phenomenal football player. I think that last year before his injury, you saw the season he was having, and obviously, you know, to miss the first 6 weeks. But I think when he comes back, that will be a huge boost for this offense. Obviously, Worthy coming back hopefully will help there as well. But I think they're kind of sorting out that identity here these first few weeks. We saw a little more under center last week, right? Trying to run the football, get downhill. Thankfully, Patrick wasn't the leading rusher for the first time of the season. But I think that's going to help with some of the play action pass and be able to push the ball downfield a little bit to some of these guys.
We're talking to Alex Smith here on Cody and Gold. You mentioned it right there. I was going to ask you, just we know Andy Reid never is going to be run first, nor should they when you got a guy like Patrick Mahomes. But how important is it to get Isaiah Pacheco and get this running game going right now, especially, as you said, when you're not having someone like Rashee Rice be a weapon for you?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's just so many variables. And listen, I work with Rex Ryan on Sundays, and he's like constantly talking about running the football. And I'm just like, listen, if you had 15, you wouldn't be running.
Right, right.
You know, and it's like so hard not to put the ball in his hands every play. But I think, again, there's a lot of things that mentioned obviously earlier, that this young left side of the O-line, right? Like in some ways getting under center, running the football, letting those guys get downhill a little bit helps, especially depending on their matchup, right? Like that Giants D-line they went against last week. Speaks a monster, right? And so, and is it a way all of a sudden to get some looks downfield and to play action and to move the pocket a little bit here and there? And so I think, do we see it again this next week, right? Maybe, right? This is a Ravens team that's struggled to stop the run. Certainly saw, obviously, Detroit, you know, get downhill on them in the run game as well. And so will that be there? You know, again, we'll see. I still think it's a work in progress. Obviously, Worthy coming back is a big addition, but I think the big one's when Rashee can get back.
Feel must win for either, for both of these teams? Just knowing, I mean, they typically are?
It's like it's so crazy to say must win this early. Like, this is a huge game. This is a big game for both teams. You know, again, but obviously one of these teams is going to be 1-3, which is crazy. But a big football game here, you know, week four. Right. And again, I think both these teams' sense of urgency will be maxed out. Yes.
Before we let you go, Alex, also we see another young quarterback getting an opportunity this week. Jackson Dart gets the start now for the Giants. We all know how involved you were with Patrick, and he gives you a ton of credit for his growth. I feel like, you know, there's some people that feel like, you know, sit a year is the path because of what you guys were able to do. Yeah. There's others that think, you know, this is too early. What do you make as someone that was right in those that feel around an organization that had drafted a young quarterback?
Yeah, and then even to go back to my year, I mean, I lived it. I started week four. This feel like deja vu, right? Like I played a little bit week three. Things were going well early, and then wham, you're starting. And I just, you know, the real question they should be asking, and this is what's unfortunate, is like, is Jackson ready? Right. Like when is the team ready around him? Right. Like, is it, have we given him the best chance to go out there and have success? And instead, unfortunately, I feel like, listen, we didn't get off to a great start. We don't have any wins. Russ didn't play well last week. Right. Like, let's just get him out there because of the pressure, because the fans were booing, because maybe the head coach is feeling pressure for his job. And that's just not how you should be making the decision, in my opinion. Right. Should they sit 1 year? How many games? Like, I don't think there's an exact number. I do think there's a lot of value, though, in Jackson watching guys go out there and prepare and play. They have this guy named Jameis Winston, who's also played well at times in this league. And I thought maybe it would be an opportunity for him to go play a few games and for Jackson to sit and watch another guy do it. You know, I don't love doing it against the Chargers, right? You guys know this defense. This defense the last 2 years is a monster. It's one of the best in the NFL. I'm not sure they've making decisions based on that. Like, how have we done everything possible for Jackson to have the best chance of success? Seems short-sighted. I love Jackson. This is a Salt Lake kid. His dad went to the University of Utah. I know him and his family. I'm obviously wishing him the best, and I hope I'm wrong on this. You know, I hope he goes out there and crushes it. But it's hard. It's hard as a young quarterback in this league, and to go play this early Hopefully they'll put a good game plan together for him. I hope he goes out there and feels like he can just run the offense and not have to be anything extra, right? You don't need to do anything special. Just go run the offense, be yourself, and hopefully he's not feeling the pressure to go out there and do too much.
So that was Alex Smith a little bit earlier on today with us, the former Chiefs quarterback. It was good to hear from him, and obviously great perspective that he has on a 1-5 start, and that team ended up making the postseason. Also, just kind of how Andy goes about his business, how it's going to be very calm. There really isn't any panic that's going on.
And that was with a team that had not proven what this team has proven.
But he acknowledged, look, he's like, I don't know if it must win Sunday, but he's like, it's a big game. It's a big game on Sunday for both the Chiefs and the Ravens. We got Jay Binkley also in studio with us right now. It is a Fan Club Friday hanging out here. Thanks to Jay Rieger and company. Cody made some Negroni cocktails using Jay Rieger spirits. So those were very, very good today. And we also want to remind you again, tomorrow night over at Rieger, they have their Negroni versus Martini event. Starts at 5:00, goes till 7:00. Obviously, you can go to jrieger.co.com for more details on that event and any of the other great events that they do over at Rieger. Let's get into kind of how we see this, Cody, this thing going on Sunday. Individual performances, the game script, all of that. We've kind of shared a little bit earlier. We haven't given our final score. Bink, we'll start with you. How do you see this game going from a game script, and then ultimately, did the Chiefs get it done?
I think it's going to be extremely close, and I look at the Ravens' defense, and they're not as nasty as they've once been. Not even close to the defense we've been thinking about, but Lamar Jackson is so good. I do think the Chiefs win by 3, though. I do think it's a close game, and I do feel a field goal towards the end. I'm going to say 27-24 Kansas City.
Okay, we're pretty close on the actual score. Yeah, on social media, there's our score prediction video will be out on Sunday, I think it is, on the Fan 965. So I also have it a 3-point margin. I believe Xavier Worthy playing this game is massive because there's just no film of him in this iteration of the Chiefs offense. And you can say, well, they can look at last year's tape. I understand that. My thought is that all offseason,
last year's tape didn't include Hollywood Brown.
Sure.
For most
but
of
also
it.
Like my thought is all offseason, you had a game plan you were putting together, not just for the Chargers game, but what you want this offense to look like and what role Xavier Worthy is going to have. Well, nobody's seen that yet because he got hurt 3 plays in. He's going to play on Sunday. Tyquan Thornton has emerged as a legitimate deep threat. Every single game this year, even the losses, they've been able to scheme him open, or he's just been able to make a contested catch like he did against the Giants. So I do think the offense will look better. Now, I don't think they're scoring 35 points, and if it's 34-31, 35-31 type of game, no. I think the Chiefs will have to pick their spots. The defense is going to have to play great, but I'm confident that they have shown under Spags their ability to adjust week to week game plan, shutting down Derrick Henry and make Lamar and Mark Andrews beat you kind of thing. And Isaiah likely nearly did a year ago when they opened up the season. I have the Chiefs winning, though, despite being underdogs at home, just the third time, I guess it is, for Patrick Mahomes for Patrick Mahomes being a home dog. 26-23, a little funky score there. Missed extra
points
or whatever.
Close. Yeah. Well, Butker's been good at missing those. We didn't even talk about that with Bink.
Yeah.
The kicking problems over the last couple of years. I was really torn. I think earlier in the week, if you'd made me make this prediction on Tuesday, I would have said the Ravens. What happens typically in these situations?
Key injuries,
slowly,
though.
Key injuries. I knew Matt Abuke.
Ronnie Stanley's been
not
going to
play.
Up.
Ronnie Stanley didn't practice yesterday. I don't know if he was.
I think
out
he
the
practiced
field.
Today. I think day to day is what Harbaugh
so
said.
Like,
but
maybe
keep this in mind too, though. They only have 3 sacks on the season, just 3.
Yeah. So
which is, if you're a tackle for the Chiefs, you got to be happy.
So the Chiefs' offensive line. I think that there's a lot of things that favor them in this matchup. And now because Worthy's back, I think they can take advantage of a bad pass defense from the Ravens. I still think it's close.
Yeah.
I say this with almost no confidence. Is the truth is that I think this game will be dangerously close. I am not optimistic about Sunday, but if you make me predict one of the two teams, I'll take the if this were in Baltimore, I'd take the Ravens.
Okay.
Because they're at home, I'll take the Chiefs. 24-23.
Okay,
that might be wishful thinking. I think that game in that mid to low 20s
is this going to be final 2 minutes of the game? We're all sweating still.
Yes.
My thought is the Chiefs will need a defensive stop. The Chiefs are up. Baltimore has the ball, and it's going to come down to a Spags defensive stop again. And I think that's very much in play. So far, all 3 of us have had the same margin of victory for Kansas City, just about, right?
But the sacks they give
24-23.
Up. 24-23. Oh, I think you said 24-21. I don't know.
That's
I was hearing a different
score. Mine was 1, yours was 3.
Yeah.
Spags could be dialing up everything. You see the way the Lions pass rush got to Lamar. I mean, that's just, if you're a defensive coordinator, you salivate, man. The amount of sacks they were getting against the Ravens was insane.
He's still just playing really well, though, Bank. He leads the league in passing touchdowns.
Lamar's a problem.
Drew?
You were thinking 24-21 because that's the score that I have.
Okay.
I was like, man, which team do I want to lose more? No, I'm just kidding.
You want the Chiefs to win for your sake.
I have the Chiefs winning 24-21. I think it'll be a close game. And like you guys said, it's the low 20s. It just feels like the ballpark of where it fits what the Chiefs want to do. And I do think it'll be the defense that makes a key stop late in the game at some point, whether it's a forced turnover, whether it's just a turnover on downs. They're going to make a play, and the Chiefs end up winning this one by 3 points.
Okay, that's our thoughts. Text line 913-586-7965. Couple 31-17s coming in.
Are those two different people?
Two different numbers. 31-17, someone says, with a defensive score. Look, if the Chiefs do get a defensive score, then obviously your odds, and no matter who you're playing, skyrocket in a victory. I don't know what the exact math is, but...
What is that, like a pick six for McDuffie or something like that, you know?
Strip sack. Strip sack. You know, a little strip sack. Picked up by Leo Chanel, runs back the other way for a touchdown. That's what the texter is thinking.
You're trying to really predict this thing out. Leo Chanel touchdown.
It's not about. I didn't say they're getting a defensive score.
I'm just saying the fact that you throw Leo Chanel. I mean, now I have to look and almost see how much. What are the odds on a Chiefs defensive touchdown?
What do you guys make of just the rest of the week in the AFC West? You've got a Raiders team taking on the Bears. You've got the Chargers obviously taking on Jackson Dart and the Giants, and then on Monday Night Football, Denver's hosting Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals.
I think that if they get any kind of reasonably decent play out of Jackson Dart, they're at the very least covering that and have a chance for the upset.
7.5, I think it is, right?
And I know that sounds like wishful thinking because if the Chiefs win, they're 2-2, and then they'd only be a game back of the Chargers and still have a game. I just think for the first time all year, it was very obvious that they're operating with a not very good offensive line in LA. And last year, it took a little while before the Chiefs offensive line showed its real cracks. And you're like, ooh. Because for a while, I remember specifically, we were having a conversation 2 or 3 weeks ago, and be like, you know what, Chiefs offensive line held up okay. Not so bad. Then they benched Kingsley and we're like, maybe it's not going as good as we thought. And then a couple weeks after that, we're like, this is a bad offensive line and they got problems. I feel like that might be what happens to the Chargers. That's part of the reason I think they might cover their goal. That's all.
I don't know. I think the Chargers will be using Quentin Johnson deep because when you give up the kind of passing yards the Giants did to the Cowboys,
and then
the Chiefs just going down the field at will, look out for Quentin Johnson, the Chargers, and also sneaking some Keenan Allen.
But the Chargers are, like Johnson. I don't think the Chargers are fumbling this one away on Sunday. I know people want them to in Kansas City.
I do like a Scatabu touchdown, though.
For those who are curious.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
I am almost stunned at this.
Okay.
The Chiefs or the Ravens to get an anytime touchdown are 5-1. The Chiefs defense is 5.5-1. The Chiefs have the Chiefs defense's odds for an anytime touchdown, according to DraftKings, are better than a Breshard Smith touchdown, an Elijah Mitchell touchdown.
Well, Elijah
Bob
Mitchell's
Tunyon
not active.
Touchdown,
so. They're saying it's like getting a Noah
Charlie
Gray
Kolar
touchdown,
who I believe has one this year. Noah Gray is 4.5-1.
Yeah,
the Ravens and Chiefs defense almost have as good of odds to get a touchdown as Noah Gray does this weekend.
Well, Noah Gray's not playing much yet.
Tyquan Thornton's is a plus 475. His odds are the Ravens almost have as good of odds to score a touchdown defensively than Tyquan Thornton does.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out how the offense is going to go because with Worthy back in the picture, what's everybody's role looks like and what shift do we see? Is the offense look completely different or not?
I get him as a first touchdown score. How about that?
Jeez, there you go.
That would be 20-1, I believe. 25-1.
There you go. Bank, appreciate you hanging out with us. A little fan club Friday here presented by Jay Rieger & Co. We'll be listening Sunday morning as well. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Seriously, beautiful weather. We got NASCAR. Drew, I know you're going on Sunday.
Yeah, let's go.
So NASCAR, I know you're fired up for that. Big college football weekend for all three locals in action. That's going to be fun. We will talk to you on Monday. Could be a completely different conversation depending on what happens Sunday in a good way, or I guess it could also be in a negative way, but I think it's going to be in a good way. We'll talk to you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Hi, Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.